The Word of God. Okay, this is a little bit of what we're going to cover. The Word of God tells us who God is. The Bible, the Word of God, this book right here, this tells me who God is. Now the heavens, Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night show his knowledge. There is no voice nor language where, or speech nor language, where his voice isn't heard. I can like look at the stars and the skies, and I can see there is a God. But this Bible tells us who he is. Now, the Bible also tells me how I can know him. How I can know him. The Bible also tells me how to walk with him. How I can walk with God. And the Bible also tells me, or tells us, how we can help others walk with him. So we're going to cover that just a little bit today. Alright. Now one of the key things of memorizing something is going over it before you've forgotten it. Okay.
Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119:97.
Great. Now, you want to do it two or three times in a row while you're still getting it, so you don't forget it.
Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119:97.
Great. You people have so much potential, I can't hardly stand it. Whew. Think of that. If every meeting you went to, you did that. Whew. Can you imagine it? I can't hardly think about it. We stop and sing songs. We could do that in about the same amount of time. And our heart would be so flooded with the Word of God that someone poke us and boom, out it comes. Oh. That might be dangerous too, mightn't it? All right. Now, we want to get a little bit of why we want to be in the Word, why we want to understand it, why we want to spend so much time in the Bible and all that. And we want to understand, we want to get motivated for this. You see, what is the purpose of all this? And in Genesis chapter 1, God says that he created man. And he created man in his own image. He created man for fellowship with him, and he created man to glorify him. Those three reasons. If I walk up on the street to see the average person, I say, how's your fellowship with God going? He says, what? I say, are you being formed into the image of Jesus Christ? He says, what? He says, are you glorifying God today? And, you know, and it may not be what he was thinking about right then. You see? I might embarrass him and me. But that's the purpose of man. Now, when we took our catechism courses, we learned that the ultimate purpose of man was to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Right? We did. Now, Isaiah 43:7 says, man was created for his glory. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God says he created man for his glory. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, man was redeemed for his glory. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. If you are a saved person, if you know Christ, if you are a Christian, the purpose of that was to glorify God, according to this verse. Man serving for his glory. Isaiah 49:3, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. As I serve, as people serve us here, they are glorifying God. It's a purpose. Man's submission to his glory. Philippians 2:10-11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everyone is going to do that. Now, the best example we have of that is Jesus Christ. In John 17:4, he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus did it. And we are to do that. Now what we want to do here, before we forget it, is to review this verse.
Okay. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119:97.
Sent down from above, my Bible is precious to me. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine, mine to tell me. Joys to come, mine to show a Savior's love, mine thou art to guide and guard, precious treasure, thou art mine. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. My Bible is precious to me.
Those are a couple sweet daughters we have, and they've decided to work without pay this summer so they can trust God to supply whatever else during the winter. Isn't that great? Oh, I like it. Yeah. Oh. And the Bible's precious to them. That's good, isn't it? When we start with them like that and feed it in, sometimes it just comes out.
Okay.
Psalms. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119:97. Great, great. Oh, we might start the next time without even the reference on it. Oh, great. Okay, we were talking about glorifying God, weren't we? Okay, we're going to keep talking about that just a little bit. I have an illustration here. Glorifying God. I see my purpose is to glorify God, and I glorify God in two ways. Now, you don't need to copy this illustration down. This is just to bring one point out as an introduction to our message on the Word. So this is just to excite you a little bit about some possibilities. Okay? Now, I glorify God by my life and by what I say. In other words, the two things in my life, I can either do something or say something. That's my whole life. So I am going to glorify God by what I'm speaking or else by what I'm doing. Now, in my life, by what I do, I glorify God, my life toward God and toward men. Like here, an example here of Abraham, Romans 4:20-21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he has promised he was able also to perform. Abraham gave glory to God by his lifestyle. My life toward men, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to God. You see? So my life can live and so it's glorifying to God. You see? And my speech toward God, what I say. See, the idea of my talking and toward men If any man speak, this could be to me this morning. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth, that in all things God may receive glory. This is what this is saying. Now, just quickly over that, as I do this, I am in love with the Lord. I love Christ. And I want to know Him. As I know Him, that we may know Him in the power of His resurrection. And I want to spend time with Him. There are two ways that I spend time with Christ. Ed talked about it yesterday. One way was prayer. The other way I spend time with the Lord is in the Word. Now, if I'm going to spend time in the Word and prayer, that takes discipline. You see that? That takes discipline. So if I want to glorify God, it takes discipline. Now, if I, instead of going this way, which is our tendency to do, I start from the bottom and I say, if I discipline my life in the Word and prayer, then I'll be spending time with Jesus. As I spend time with Jesus, I'll get to know Him. As I get to know Him, the more I spend time with someone, I get to know them. And the illustration of Christ, when I get to know Jesus, I just love Him. The more I get to know Him, the more I love Him. You see? And the more I love Him, the more I want to say and do those things that please Him. And as I do that, that glorifies God. So the key to glorifying God is... What is it again? Everybody say. The key to glorifying God is...
Discipline.
That away. Thank you. Those are hard. That's a hard word, isn't it? Discipline. Okay. Now that's the key. So we are going to look at some things in the Bible here and give us some helps and some understandings to help us so that we can have this in our life and we can be motivated to say, I will do some things. And if you think on that, that is a very important truth. So I can be motivated even to listen this morning to this message. Because I can see that there's a possibility out of this, I may fulfill the purpose for which I was made, which is to glorify God. If I'm willing to discipline my life. Now that might be tough, but there's the possibility. And discipline's always good, isn't it? If we see the results of it. Okay? Now we're going to start a little bit with that chart you found on your chair. Now those of you who are sitting in the back row didn't find a chart on your chair. If you want a chart, you can come up front. Okay? You have to have that discipline. Otherwise, you're gracious. Look at the grace of this group. They're passing them back. How kind can you get? We're under the law anymore. We found that out last night. So, that's great. Okay. In this little illustration, don't write on yours, please. Do not write on that paper yet. You may look at the paper, but please do not write on the paper now. I do not want you to write on the paper now, please. Okay. All right. Now, this is called the chain illustration, and this helps me understand how I get to know God. The first thing was I get who God is. God is the Creator, and He made me in His image. Now, I get to know Him. I want to know Him, and this helps me get to know Him. I see myself, the more I study who God is, and I see His holiness, I see God's greatness, I see who am I to talk to God? How could I possibly approach a holy God? In fact, I couldn't. And that was one of my problems before I became a Christian. I could see how sinful I was. How could I talk to God Almighty? And my sin had separated between me and my God. I said, what will I do with my sin? And I was guilty. And I sensed that. And I can remember sitting in meetings where I heard people share about this, and I had a sense of guilt, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do with it. So I lived with my guilt. Now, sooner or later, someone shared with me John 3:16 or a verse like it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is God's promise. Now, I wanted the result here of that promise. I wanted forgiveness and everlasting life. But I needed to respond. Now, I thought about that a long time before I responded. Because I knew that my response might mean that God would ask something of me. And we had Tom share, as he thought about this, and we had Ed share some about in his life, and you hear about how people go through a time in life when they consider this. Now, I did that in my life, and It was a time when I had it explained to me, I understood, and I decided I will believe that Jesus Christ died for sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. That he was God himself, he was deity. And I saw that from the Bible. Someone opened the scriptures and showed me out of here this truth. And I believed. As I did that, then I fulfilled my condition or my response there, my responsibility, and then I had forgiveness and everlasting life. You see? Now, if we look at this again, I may look at myself as an alien separated from God. I may look at verse John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, I would like to be a son of God. But according to this verse says I must receive him. So I must respond by receiving Christ. That's what that verse says. Now, I must look at the promise, see what the promise says, and then if I look at the result and I like the result, I consider, do I want to respond? And if I want to respond and I like the results, then I say, okay, I will respond and I can have the results of the promise. Now, you think in your own life what verse you claimed when you became a Christian. You want me to think hard? Yeah, think. So, you think now and you say, hey, what promise did I claim so that I would know that if I fulfilled the qualification of that promise, I would become a Christian? It might be Romans 10:9-10, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, you don't get saved just by quoting that verse, or memorizing it, or reading it. But it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, that may be what happened to you. If that's the verse, then you put down whatever you were, your condition, lost, separated from God, guilty, whatever your condition was there, and then you put Romans 10:9-10 there. You see? And then you say, if you did, confess with your mouth Jesus Lord, you believe that he was raised from the dead, then you could say, yes, according to this verse, according to the promise of God, I was saved. And then you could have that as a confidence that is your experience. Okay? You follow maybe you have John 5:24. You might have other verses. But, you know, pick a verse where the promise is eternal life. Don't pick a verse where the promise is something, but eternal life. Pick a verse that fits. Okay? Now you may do it. Right now. Now you may write on the paper. It's okay now to write on the paper. Yes, you have that privilege. Okay, it's underneath, right behind on the floor there. That's very good. Just a little bit to your... That's fine. Got it. Okay. It's all right to use your Bibles. That's fair. Does he have a verse? Does he have a verse? He's got a verse. He's got a verse. And you want to be very careful now that your verse says what you have as a result. That it says that's what you have. See? If you put it in the end, it's eternal life. Say, suppose you use 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's fine. But the verse doesn't necessarily say there that you have eternal life. Now, you may have used that verse to confess sin and accept Christ. Fine. That may, and it may well be. But that verse doesn't promise you eternal life. And there are verses that promise you that. And if you want the assurance that you have it, pick one that you can have the assurance that you have it. Okay? Good. Great. Okay. Now, what you can do, if you want to, in your discussion group, you can cover that some more, or over the lunch table. It's okay to take these to lunch with you and, you know, put them on the table and spill things on them. That's all right. All right. There you have. Now, you people are doing great. You listen fast. Okay. Now, in my life, I may sin. I may feel dirty. I may feel unclean. I've done something wrong in my life. And I say, oh, my life is messed up. And so I say, does the Bible have a promise on that? Yep, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So I want to be forgiven and I want to be cleansed. I say, oh, I like that result. I like to be forgiven and I like to be cleansed. I want that. Ooh, how I'd like to have that. But the verse says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So I must confess my sin. And God promises, if I will do that, He will forgive me and cleanse me. Now, to confess my sin, I must admit it's wrong. I must be willing to turn from it and purpose not to do that again. But I might say, I like it. But I want to be clean, but I like my sin. So I have a decision to make. So I either stay in my uncleanness, or I say, I will confess my sin and forsake it, and then I can be forgiven and cleansed. Now, I have that decision. I have that free will to make. Now, that's very important. Now, when Ed shared with us on prayer, he alluded to the fact in prayer, we're praying and we're asking God, and life is growing, and as I ask God, my life changes, and as I ask God, I pray in my prayer life the same way as I prayed when I accepted Christ. He brought that out as he shared with us. As I pray my day-by-day prayer, I believe in God similar to as I prayed when I asked Christ to forgive me. And that is true. Now, Colossians 2:6, Ed referred to that. As I have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so I am going to walk in Him. So as I receive Christ as my Savior, then I am going to walk with Him that way. So if I went... And instead of having a verse for salvation, I went and I got goose pimples in a meeting. I was in a meeting and God seemed to be speaking and I got goose pimples. As I sat there with goose pimples. And I walked out and someone said, are you a Christian? I said, yeah, how do you know? Well, I was in this meeting and this person shared and it was so great. And I just got goose pimples. Now this verse says, have you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So I walk with goose pimples. So as I walk, if in my life I seem to be in a situation and a circumstance where I get goose pimples, I think God must be working here. Goose pimples. You see? And that's kind of the way I walk. And my life is kind of like this. Goose pimples, no goose pimples. Goose pimples, no goose pimples. You see? If that's it. Or maybe, as I was in this meeting, or this place, people said, raise your hand. Everyone that wants to respond, raise your hand. I see that hand. You see? And it could be I'm responding. And it could be that it's happening. But to understand what's happening, then later on, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So then every time there's a decision or something's happening, I raise my hand. That's how I walk. God doesn't want... God says, walk according to the promises. He says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So the verse that you put down here, if that really fits, then you can choose a verse on forgiveness if you need it. Now you may end up... You lack direction in your life. Some may be here at this conference and you say, I'd like to have direction. I need direction. My condition is I want direction. I don't know what to do. God says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and I'll direct you. God promises to direct. So I said, oh boy, God says I'll get God's direction from God on high. Now the average person looks for direction. You can buy a book on it. How to discern the will of God. I mean, 12 chapters. Here we get it in one verse. Oh, you like it? I like it. Okay. So I think, what is it? Well, then I say, well, what's the condition? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all my heart? Lean not into your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. I'm going to acknowledge God in every way. As I'm looking for God's direction here, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm going to not lean to my own insight. And I am going to acknowledge Him in everything. And God says, when you do that, I'll direct you, Harv. Well, that's right. He will, won't He? Now, if I have received Christ Jesus by claiming a promise, seeing the response that I have to that promise, and then I see how God fulfills His responsibility, then I can walk day by day this way. See? Okay? That helps me in the walk. Some of you get weary. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You like that one? You like it, don't you? Sure. See? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary and walk and not faint. I said, but I'm fainting, Lord. Faint. You see? Well, you know, I wasn't waiting on the Lord. I got 2 steps up the mountain further than I should have been. See, I need to wait upon the Lord. Then I renew my strength. I'm the type that goes zap, zap, zap. I jump out of the window and say, well, now, what floor was I on? You see? People around me know that. So I wait on the Lord. Now, the Bible, hey, Joyce, new song. People need to stand, everybody stand. While she's getting the piano, we'll quote, stand and quote. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119:97. Great, we're going to sing a song. Every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of His love divine, every promise in the book is mine. Now you can remember that. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All our blessings of His love divine, every promise in the book is mine. Okay, would you play the tune? It's kind of catchy, isn't it? Promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. All our blessings of His love divine, every promise in the book is mine. Okay?
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All our blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Okay? Now the New Hebrideans, when they sing this, they say book. It's every promise in the book. Is mine. Okay, let's help them out that way, okay?
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All our blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
You people are wonderful. Have a seat. Didn't they do good, Joyce? I think they have more talent and ability than I thought we ever could find. Okay. Oh, you people are doing well. All right. Now, we mentioned discipline. In one of our Bible studies, we have a cartoon in there. The desire, I want to get up to meet with God. I must get up at 6:30. So I make the decision to do it and the determination. You see it? And then comes the discipline. Isn't that right? Oh, yeah. All right. Now, sometime during the week, maybe more than once, you're going to be exposed to this. Now, this is a fantastic illustration. It is so good that we ought to spend 3 or 4 or 5 meetings just introducing you to part of it. You see, but we won't have time. So you come back next year. But we'll cover it a little bit. Here, Christ is the living word. This represents the Christian life, see? The Christian, the obedient Christian in action. Christ is the very center of my life. We had last night, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And we discussed that, and we listened to it, and we heard about it, and we went down and had ice cream over it. That's right. That was great. Now, we had Ed Rice share with us on prayer. That was fantastic. You say, oh, I wish I could be like Ed. Good. Well, you can start like he's doing. Right? Right. So we discussed that. And we discussed prayer. And now we're having the Word. You see, we're getting some of that. These are the spokes. And then we'll discuss and we'll have fellowship in our discussion groups and we have fellowship. And then we express and we help and we'll discuss, like Ed discussed about this book, the witnessing is a lifestyle. You see? And then as we do these things, they're all in obedience. And it's obedience in action. And this is the vertical relationship. I talk to God in prayer. He talks to me in the Word. My vertical relationship with the Lord. My horizontal relationship in the world. I fellowship with Christians and I witness to those that don't know Him by life and deed. And I'm obedient in the Word in action. And you can ask in your discussion group if they wouldn't, could you just open that up to us a little bit and share? And your discussion group leader might say, hey, I'm just waiting for you to say that. So it might happen. I don't know. Okay. Now we're back to the Word. Now hold it. Hold the phone. It's hard to read backwards. Now the mind can do it. The mind can do that. The mind can take things backwards and put them straight. Yeah, the Lord's given us a good mind. Right now while I'm talking to you, you can think of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things different than I'm talking about. And you can do that. You can be praying for me, actually. Saying, why don't you wake that guy up, Lord? You see? Get on with it. You see? So you can be doing that. And you're actually responsible to do it. See, so while I'm doing this, mind does a lot of things. And if you turn things upside down, you can turn around quick. Okay. See it positive. See it big. All right. All right. The obedient Christian and the Word and prayer. Now, we're on this one here. And we're going to discuss some practical things on this right now. Some practical things on the Word. And we have an illustration that we call the hand illustration. And the hand illustration helps us to get a grip on the Word of God. So that I can grab and have a grasp on this Word, and then the Word gets a grasp on me. And we say, we hear it, and we get a little bit of a grasp on it. I hear and read, and I get a little bit more of a grasp on it. I hear and study, and I get a bigger grasp on it. I hear, read, study, and memorize, and I get a bigger grasp on it. I hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate, and I get that grasp on it. Do you see? Now, if you ever do this in your Sunday school class, make sure you keep the binding. So you can pull it out. Bang, bang. Yeah, okay. Now we go through. Good illustration. All right. This is the hand. The little finger was here. Here. Now, if you have a blank piece of paper there or something, you can just put your hand down on it. Go. You look like a baseball mitt, but it'll be all right. Okay. Now, here, so Romans 10:17, we had that in our prayer. We had that in our prayer before we started this meeting. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to be a man of faith, hear the Word of God. The hearing there has to do with doing it. James 1:22. James 1 is such a fantastic verse, I hate to share it. You ought to have to find this by yourself, but I'm going to share it with you. James 1:22. It is so good. Be ye doers of the word and not only deceiving your own selves. You know, if Mr. Gilbert would come up to me and deceive me, he would tell me some things and he would just deceive me 60 ways. I wouldn't like that. Right? And I'd say, Gilbert, don't do that again, please. Now this verse says, if I hear the word of God and I don't do it, I am deceiving myself. Well, if I don't like him to deceive me, how do I like myself deceiving me? Right? So when I hear the word and don't do it, then I am the verse says I'm deceiving myself. Have you ever thought of it like that? Oh, think about it a while. I tell you, it'll get you. Okay. Be doers. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now Revelation 1:3. This has to do with reading. Oh, by the way, on hearing. One good place to hear is in a fellowship, a group of people in a church, congregation, where you hear somebody expounding the Word of God. You can also hear it on tapes. They're for sale. Okay, you can do that. You can hear on tapes. Now, we have tapes. Our daughters here that just up here, they have. We bought them each tapes of the Old Testament and New Testament. And while they were doing their hair in the morning, getting ready to go to school last year, they each listened to the Bible completely through, just while they were doing that. Interesting, isn't it? Why not do it? Now, I ride in the car. My car now has 99,900 and some miles on it. It's kind of new looking. Now, I have a tape deck in there, and I have the Word of God and some good messages by Ed and other people. And I stick them in there, and I listen to them as I ride. And I hear, and I hear, and I hear. With a purpose to do, but I hear. Now, you can come up with new ideas. Way back when, before even cassettes were made, I put a transformer under my hood of my car, and I had the big tape deck beside me in the car with the big rails, you know, going there, and I just, you know, yeah, okay. Here. Now, read. Read. Daily walk. You got the daily walk? Read. That gives you some idea how to read. This chapter, we're just finishing Psalms. We start in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. We get all of that. Ooh, that's a lot to have in a month. But if you're going to get through the Bible, you kind of read, you know. And what's good about this, if you get lost, it tells you what day and where you are. You've got one in your room. You can start with it. It's fun. So that's reading. Here, read. Read the Word of God. Read. And it's good to listen to someone else read. People in the Scriptures, they read one-fourth part of a day. The result of that was they confessed one-fourth part of a day. So you want to read, and read out loud. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not turning to that, by the way. But blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Oh, meditate. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119:97.
Well, I think you're going to be able to do that alone before the meeting's over.
Okay, here, read, study, Acts 17:11. Study. Study. Now that's the third finger, study. Here, read, study. These were more noble than those in the Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and then searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. These people listened, and then they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things are so. So as you write down these verses, as you hear me, you hear Ed, Mr. Bennett, different ones share, then it's your responsibility to see if what has been shared is according to what this says. Is that so? That's what you're to do. And it says daily. Now some of you may want to put 3 or 5 hours in one day during the week and then spread it out however you like, but the idea is to study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have you ever had someone ask you a question and you'd like to give them an answer? Oh, how you'd like to give them an answer, and you think, ooh, it's in the Bible. The Bible says something about that. It's in there somewhere. I know it's in the Bible. You look in the Bible, it'll be there. And so he starts in Genesis. You see? Now, would you turn to me right now to Proverbs chapter 22? Now, this is a verse you want to star, you want to underline. This is on study, getting to know it. It has to do with memory. The next one is Psalms 119. It has to do with memory also. Psalms, or Proverbs chapter 22. Starting with verse 17. Proverbs 22:17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my understanding. Are you there? Then he says, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. The Lord says, Harv, it's a good thing now as you study this, if you memorize it. And it says, the Lord says, Harv, then I will fit these words in your lips. That's what it says. That your trust may be in the Lord. The Lord says, I'll fit these in your lips so your trust can be in God. Now, if you're sitting on one couch and I'm sitting on another and you've come to me for counsel, and I'm giving you the imaginations of my heart and you're telling me the imagination of yours, my trust isn't very good, really. We might both jump off the Golden Gate. Right? That's true. See? But now this says, God says, now if you will get these verses, Harv, and memorize them, and get them in your mind and soul, and in your life to do them, then God says, I'll fit them in your lips. So when you're talking with someone, you can rightly divide the word of truth. And then your trust can be in God. Now is that good? Would you like to counsel with someone and they ask you a question and you give them an answer right out of here and you know this is what God says to the situation? Is that fantastic or not? Oh, isn't that a good portion? Are you going to start? Oh, yeah. Oh, man. And the Lord says, haven't I written unto these excellent things in counsels of knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that they may you may answer the words of truth to them that send to you? People are going to come knock on your door. They're going to phone you up at midnight. Right? True or not? That's right. They'll phone him up at midnight because he's got answers. And they do that. And when they do that, he can have the scriptures to answer. See? And the Lord says, I've written these, so when they send to you, you've got it. And, but now, you've decided to memorize a verse, haven't you, to be ready? Time or two. Great, 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 great. And the last one over here is meditation. Now, we've got a verse on Psalms 119. Psalms 119. 97, that's right. You're still here. All right. That's meditation. Now, as I do this, all of these are so that I can obey. That pen is something else. We'll try another one. We'll have Christmas here. That one was red. Or yellow, green. This is red. Okay, I'm obey. Now, all of these are with the idea of obeying, so that who are you, Lord? What do you want me to do? So I find out who God is, and then God tells me what to do. Now, as I do that, as is mentioned in this verse we had in chapter 22 of Proverbs, I can share. I can share with someone else. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 6, the Lord says, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I have hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate. And as I get those, I grasp together on obedience, and I really work on the obedience, and then I share. You like that? Oh, but it's with grace. You like that too, don't you? Right, okay. Now, as you're in your group, you may discuss some ways to do these things. Now, we do have a little packet. We call it, must have gone on the floor, Beginning with Christ. Have you heard of it? It's a little packet of verses. And this little packet, there it is. And it's made for you. See? And it starts very simple. Now, when I first started, I was in the Navy, as it was mentioned in my introduction. I was in the Navy, I became a Christian, and I thought, boy, I'm going to get all this, and can all I get? And so I laminated the book of John. And I did have a little, one of these Gideon Gospel Johns, and I had it laminated, each sheet. And so I was around that ship, I started in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with all things made by Him, without Him, nothing made that was made, Him was life, and life was living, and life shines in the darkness, and darkness remained not. And I had this thing memorized. That I was going, not the whole book, but I got started on it. But that was a pretty big bite. And it was too hard to swallow for a little baby Christian. Now, we found that out. And so we've worked on it just for you. Oh, I like it. And what we can do is we can start in here, and we start with Assurance of Salvation, 1 John 5, 11-12. And you can learn, it's got a title to it. It's got the references, and it shows you how to learn it for that. Gives you a little bit of writing about it. And then you can memorize that. Get that word perfect, quote it to a friend, prove you have it. And then you go to the next one. And there's some how-to. You can talk about that in your discussion group, how to get going on that. Now, some of us have a little bit more gifts and ability than others. But let me tell you, if you want to help somebody, you learn to do it in a way that they can do it. Right? Now, that may take discipline. It may take sacrifice. But if I'm going to help someone over here, I want to do it in such a way so that he can see that and reproduce it. So that he can follow it. So I may change some things that I do and the way I do them so that I can help somebody else. See, I may have gifts and abilities. You know, I might be able to have all, you know, the insights and might be smart. Someone goes, psst, you know, a little bit, and I get down to theirs, you know. But even then, if my wife can't figure out what I'm doing and how I'm doing it, that's bad. So we keep it simple, and we keep it small, bite size. Now, in our groups, we'll be, hey, we can go over that. And you can find out, oh, lots and lots about that. Okay. This has been so good, I can't hardly stand it. But we must stop. But before we stop, what are we going to do? You're right. Do you realize that for time expended, the quickest intake of the Word of God into my life is Scripture memory. Suppose you spent all the time you know, running around to meetings. And you spent that time memorizing the Scripture, getting the Word of God into your mind and heart. How much would you know? More or less? Good. Okay. So we're going to spend a little more time on it just before we close here. Are you ready? Okay.
You want to do it all alone?
Okay, that's right. We don't want to do it all alone. Two are better than one, for they receive a good reward for the labor. For the one fall, the other helps his brother up. That's with good memory. So I know that. So I won't force you to do that, because I love you. And we're going to help you up. Okay.
Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119:97.
Fantastic. You people are wonderful. Now, what we're going to have is we're going to have a special announcement coming from Dr. Bremner, and then he's going to lead us in a word. You people are good listeners. Thank you very much. What a privilege.